Good evening. Are you guys awake? Good evening. There we go. Hope you have a Bible with you. If you do, please be turning to Matthew chapter 18. We're going to look at one of the parables in Matthew chapter 18 tonight. This is such an awesome chapter, teachings of Jesus that have some parables in there. And the parable that we're going to look at tonight is the one that we call the unforgiving servant. And we're going to pick up in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 18. And the first phrase that comes up in verse 21 is, then Peter came up. Well, then kind of connects us to what came before. So let's talk about the context. So just before this, Jesus is teaching his disciples, and he says, if, you know, back in verse 15, if your brother sins against you, and he gives from that point, you know, instructions on what do you do in a body if your brother, if one of your brothers in Christ does something against you, what are you supposed to do? And he gives the procedure, you know, go to them. If they won't listen, bring somebody with you, and ultimately to the whole body. But he gives instructions there. And so the disciples are listening to this, and Peter, impulsive, rash Peter, hearing this conversation, he comes up with a question, okay? And so if you're taking notes, I'm going to break this down into four elements tonight. And the first thing that you might want to write down is confident question. So Peter hears this conversation that are just teaching from Jesus about what am I supposed to do when a brother sins against me? And Peter comes up with a confident question. This is what he says. He says, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Now, before we look at Peter kind of answers his own question, before we look at his answer to his own question, the rabbinic consensus in Judaism was that someone was supposed to forgive another up to three times for a repeated offense, okay? So three times, that was the rabbinic consensus in Judaism, up to three times. So Peter, when he asked this question about, hey, you've already been talking about a brother sinning against me, Jesus, how often am I supposed to forgive them if they sin against me? And then he answers it, as many as, and we know this, seven times. Now, what's Peter doing? He's more than doubling the number that the rabbis would give in saying, this is how many times you're supposed to forgive. Now, why do you think Peter asked that question and gave that answer? Do you think he was, I mean, we don't know for certain why. But my suspicion, and the reason why I've labeled this as confident question, is I think Peter's looking for a pat on the back. Peter's looking for an attaboy. Because he's saying, Lord, I'm so forgiving that I would forgive my brother doing the same thing to me. I would forgive him double, more than double what the rabbis tell me. I would do it seven times. And I think he's expecting Jesus to go, whoa, that's a lot of forgiveness. It's kind of like when every year I have to go see my neurologist. And whenever I sit down with him, the first thing he wants to do, he don't want to talk about my, you know, neurological condition. He wants to just talk about my lifestyle. And so he's asking me questions about, you know, Are you healthy? Are you living healthy? And I start off thinking, you know, if I tell him about my running, if I brag a little bit about my running, he's going to go, whoa, you are awesome. And I'll say, you know what? Last year I ran a marathon and two half marathons. I ran 1,500 miles last year. And I'm expecting him to go, wow, you're like, you know, gold sticker patient. But instead, he looks at me and goes, well, that's great, but how are you eating? You know, well, I ate a lot of M&Ms, and I ate a lot of junk, and I eat way too much. Well, how are you sleeping? Well, I sleep 4 to 5 hours a night, and if on a good night. Well, how's your stress level? Well, I'm so stressed I can't, you know. And he's not impressed at all, because there's nothing else about my life that is healthy. And so he's not impressed. And same way, I think Peter's trying to say, look how awesome I am. You've been talking about addressing a brother who has sinned against me. Look at how awesome I am. Jesus isn't impressed at all. And that brings us to this second point, if you're taking notes. So we had confident question, and then we have perhaps a confounding answer, a confusing answer, if you will, especially to Peter. So Jesus hears this, and he says, I do not say to you 7 times, but, and depending on your translation, my translation says 70 times 7, which is, if you want to do the quick math, it's 490 times. Your translation may say 77 times. I don't think the number matters. I don't think the number matters, because I believe Jesus is saying, Peter, you have got this completely wrong. Just the fact that you're even asking this question and putting a cap on how many times you're supposed to forgive shows that you don't get it. And Peter often didn't get it, right? Just like we don't get it. But he's saying, just the fact that you're putting a number on this means that you don't understand the nature of forgiveness as a child of God. And so he throws out this big number, whether it's 77 or 490, it doesn't matter. Jesus is saying, you don't put a limit on forgiveness. This is not something that we limit if we're a child of God. Well, why is that? Well, to explain that, and here's point number 3. You're like, wow, we're already on point number 3. This is going fast. This is not a typical Tim Agee sermon, right? We may hang out a little bit on point number 3. The third thing is clarifying parable. So we have a confident question, a confounding answer, and a clarifying parable. Jesus uses a parable to explain why a child of God should not limit their forgiveness to others. And this parable, we've heard this parable. So those of us that have grown up in the church, we've heard this since we were little. It's a simple parable with an incredible spiritual meaning. And he says, therefore, this is the explanation. The kingdom of heaven, and so many of Jesus' parables start off with Jesus talking about, hey, this is like the kingdom of heaven. This is the nature of God's kingdom. And again, just to revisit, I've talked about this a lot in sermons and classes, but to revisit the nature of God, or, you know, what is God's kingdom? It's anything that's under God's control. It's anything that's under God's control. And we, what do we want to be? We want to be subjects in that kingdom, right? And in Jesus' parables, he's explaining simple truths that apply to the subjects in the kingdom of God. And he's saying this idea of forgiveness is a fundamental element of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. It's a fundamental element of the way the servants in that kingdom, the subjects in that kingdom, should live their lives. So he says this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him, and here's another number, 10,000 talents. Now, it's not super easy, I gather from reading the scholars that understand the, you know, units of currency in that day and time. This is a talent is a weight of measure. But it's not super easy to bring that into modern day, you know, what is the cash equivalent in 2018 of 10,000 talents? It could be anywhere, if you read different individuals, anywhere from tens of millions of dollars to billions of dollars. But the exact number doesn't matter. What is the nature of the number? It's big. It's so big that the servant can't possibly pay it. No conceivable way. That's the only thing that matters. Doesn't matter whether in modern day equivalent it's 50 million or a billion, it just means he can't pay it. It's absolutely impossible for him to pay this debt to this king. You know, in that day and time, one talent, 10,000 talents would be the equivalent of 150,000 years' wages. There's no way he can repay this. Impossible. That's all we need to know. The specific number doesn't matter, just that he can't possibly repay it. And then verse 25 says this, and since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold. And incidentally, this was a procedure that's laid out in the Old Testament. If a servant cannot pay a debt, that servant can be sold because of that. If you want to write down a couple of references, look in Leviticus chapter 25, specifically verse 39, 2 Kings chapter 4, specifically in verse 1. But incidentally, so he can't pay the debt, so the king is within his rights to sell the servant. And not only selling the servant, but the wife and the children as well. And all that he had and payments to be made. Now, the payments that would be made to him for selling the servants would not pay for the debt. But he's essentially saying, you can't pay the debt, I'm selling you to somebody else. So what does the servant do? He's got this impossible debt to pay. His family's about to be sold. The servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave him the debt. And what is the nature of that forgiveness? It's unearned. It's an unearned forgiveness. He forgave the debt from his grace. And it's easy to see what the parallel is here. This is talking about God. And God, and for us, with our sin, we have this impossible debt where we are convicted and sentenced to certain forever spiritual death. And there's absolutely nothing that we can do to pay that debt. And what did God do? Out of nothing that we did, out of nothing that we deserved, he forgave us by sending his son to pay that price that we couldn't pay. We see the parallel. We see the parallel. So the servant, he's been forgiven this impossible debt, just like we have been forgiven an impossible debt. But then that servant says, when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Now, this is another unit of currency, if you will. And a denarii, we may remember, is one day's wage. So this is 100 days' wages. So on one hand, the servant is forgiven 150,000 years' worth of wages. And then he goes out and finds another servant that owes him 100 days' worth of wages. No comparison between the two, right? No comparison. And he says, in seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. Verse 31. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt. How much? 150,000 years' wages. I forgave you all that debt. Why? Because you earned it, because you deserved it. Because you pleaded with me. I gave it to you even though you didn't deserve it. And what did you do? And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. Was he ever going to be able to pay all his debt? No. he's been sentenced to for the rest of his life to be in prison because he cannot possibly repay that debt. The next word that comes is the word so. And in so, Jesus gives us, as a conclusion to this, this is the fourth point, his clear point. His clear point. So you have a confident question, a confounding answer, a clarifying parable, and a clear point. Before we read the clear point, though, I want us to think about something for a minute. If you were to try to explain to someone else, what are the fundamental elements of being a child of God? What would it include? I mean, we'd probably say things like, well, we've got to have faith. We've got to believe. We've got to worship. You know, we'd have a list of things that we could come up with as, hey, this is fundamental to Christianity. And what if that other person said, well, what about forgiveness? Oh, yes, forgiveness. God has forgiven us so much. But what about forgiveness of others? Do we ever think about that as being a fundamental element of our walk with God, as a fundamental element of Christianity? I ask that because I struggle with forgiveness. I have a really hard time letting go of things. And I can't even say like Peter, should I forgive him seven times? I have a hard time getting to number one. I mean, I can think of instances from just last year where I still remember some, you know, things that someone did against me or things that someone said to me that I'm still holding on to and I haven't let them go. I can remember things that happened 20, 30 years ago that people did to me that I have a hard time, that I have been fighting for 20, 30 years to let go, and I can't let it go. And this answer that Jesus is going to give here, as summarizing this parable, terrifies me because of how much I struggle in letting go of things that others do to me. Because Jesus says this, so, also my heavenly Father, this is the clear point, also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you. Do what? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. He says, also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. See, it's not just about the forgiveness that we receive from God. While that's absolutely essential, Jesus is saying a fundamental element of being a subject in the kingdom of God is that you reflect that forgiveness to others. Because anything that anyone else has done for you or has done against you, it pales in comparison to what you owed, to what your debt was, and what you have been forgiven. If you've got that Bible, flip over to Matthew chapter 6. This is not the only place where Jesus had something to say about the importance of forgiveness. In Matthew chapter 6, we're in the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is going through the first part of chapter 6, a number of things where he's talking about the practicing of your righteousness. And he's talking about, you know, when you pray, when you fast, when you give, you know, don't do those things so that others can see what you're doing. Don't do those things to bring glory to yourself. But when he's on the topic of prayer, he uses that opportunity as a chance to instruct his disciples on how they should pray. And we know this is the Lord's Prayer. He gives them the model prayer. Not a prayer to be just blindly recited, but in essence he's saying this is what a prayer to God should look like. And I'm not going to spend the time to break down the prayer. I want to focus on one line that, again, many of us that grew up in the church, you know, we've memorized the Lord's Prayer since we were in, you know, in Sunday school. And there's one line in there near the end of the prayer. It comes in verse 12 of chapter 6, where he says, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." Or if you've got another translation, "Forgive us our trespasses as we have forgiven those who trespass against us." It means the same thing. Lord, forgive us to the degree that we forgive others. Is that a standard that we want to be held to? Do we want to be held to the standard of the forgiveness that we receive is consistent with the forgiveness that we are willing to give others? You know, based on what I just said about how I have a hard time letting things go, that's terrifying. That's terrifying. But then listen to what Jesus says at the end of that prayer as an explanation maybe of why this is in there. Why is this in that prayer? He says, 14, "If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And isn't that the same thing he says in chapter 18 after this parable that we call the unforgiving servant? That we have to reflect the forgiveness that we have received from God toward others. And what's the limit on that? There's no limit. He says the nature of being a subject in the kingdom of God is that we have to be forgiving people. We have been forgiven something that we would never be able to pay in a 150,000 lifetimes. We would not be able to repay it. But what are we holding on to from where others have done something to us that is so minor in comparison? What are we holding on to? And the lesson for me, the lesson for all of us, especially those that struggle with forgiveness, is we have to let those things go. We have to put those things into perspective and realize what we have received and be willing to reflect that to others. Because in the end, it's not going to matter. It's not going to matter because we have been given this unbelievable gift, rescued from an impossible situation. Why not, while we're here on this earth, reflect that to others? God says that's the standard by which you're going to be judged. The level to which you're going to be forgiven is how willing you are to forgive others. If you're here tonight and you're like me and you struggle with forgiveness, then let's together decide that we're going to work harder to let go. And I would solicit your prayers. Pray for me that I can learn to let go of things. And if anyone else needs prayers tonight to help letting go of things that others have done to you, things that weigh you down, things that have destroyed relationships, destroyed families. If you need prayers, we want to pray with you. If you need help in any way, we want to help. If there's anything we can do. If you're here tonight and you've never made a commitment to God, then you still got that debt. That debt that you're never going to be able to repay. And the beautiful thing is that forgiveness is out there. It's free. All we have to do is commit to God. And we do that by making a decision that we're going to follow Him. We're going to be buried with His Son in baptism to allow His blood to cleanse us of our sins. And we're going to make a decision that we're going to live our life for Him. A life that part of that is characterized by our willingness to forgive others the way God has forgiven us. If there's anything we can do for you, will you please come while we sing our invitation song?